I think that in and through all of these things, one of the things that I'm reminded about the most in watching stuff like this is how my life at times just revolves around me. How at times we are so focused on ourselves and our own little issues, and we quarrel and fight with one another about the silliest things, while there are people laying down their lives for the gospel, while there are people being slaughtered for the sake of our King. And it's nothing new. We're busy with it as we journey through Acts as well. And a big part of me, oh man, doesn't want to share the sermon that I had on my heart, or at least that I prepared, because I think there's something else that we would be good in reminding ourselves of, and that is the reason why we are here this morning. We've been journeying through Acts, and we've seen how the persecution has ramped up and started the birth of the persecution against the church, and how it started as just an imprisonment, just a beating. We are currently speaking about Stephen and his boldness and the fact that he's willing to lay his life down for his faith. The fact that in Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when we become born again, when we become his children, when we become followers of Christ, he enables us to witness. He gives us the strength and the ability to endure even these things. But when we experience hardships and trials and, you know, all of the struggles, and then I'm not even speaking about the persecution that these guys are experiencing, then our wheels tend to fall off because our focus shifts from where it should be to our selfish self. And if you guys are anything like me, these videos, these stories, these testimonies do one of two things. Actually, two things, at least. And that is, they make me feel so filled with shame for the fact that I think this life revolves around me. And it helps me see what my life should be devoted to and what my life should revolve around. And that is Christ and others. That is Christ and others. We look at the scriptures and we see that since Acts 2, a little bit later as well, since the birth of the church, it's not been an easy road. The church has been persecuted over the last 2,000 years, and persecuted in ways that I think would give each and every one of us nightmares. Persecuted in the most horrible ways. I look at the disciples, for example. 11 of the 12 dying for the sake of Christ. Not because they couldn't, you know, for a lack of trying when it came to John, but they just couldn't kill him because God had other plans. But these guys gladly gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Peter, so much so that he didn't count himself worthy to die in the same manner as his Savior. You guys know the story. You guys know the stories. And then there's countless others that we don't know. Countless others that marched to the arenas, that were taken there, that went to their deaths rejoicing for this, the sake of our King. For the fact that they would be regarded as worthy They would be counted worthy to suffer. How dare we be allergic to that? How dare we, as followers of Christ, fight and squabble amongst one another? How dare we not forgive one another, care for one another? How dare we make it about things that it's not about? I don't want to sit next to you because you don't think the same as me or don't vote for the same person as me. How dare we go there? How dare we? When people are giving their lives for Christ, that's what it's about. That's what it's about, guys. Having a burden on our hearts for those who are lost. We walk past them every day of our lives. And I wonder by myself how many times you stand still. I know how little I stand still. And then when our comfort gets challenged, when our, I don't know how to say it another way other than saying our comfort gets threatened, when things don't go the way we want them to, then we lament. And there's nothing wrong with lamenting at times, guys. There's a book devoted to that in the scriptures. But we at times find ourselves under this incredible misconception that all of this, this whole life, this whole race that we are called to run is about us. It's not about us. It's not about us. And then when we experience things that we don't want to experience, we sit and mope and murmur and find ourselves in our own selfishness, wallowing, feeling sorry for ourselves. And then I look at the scriptures and then I see something incredibly different. I see something totally different. I see something that we are called to. And I can't help but wonder whether it is maybe because of the fact that we don't always understand a drop in the bucket of the ocean of what God had prepared for us. I don't think we always understand what it is that God has prepared for those that He loves. What it is when He says that He is with us. What it means when He says that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We walk around as though we at times are forsaken. If you guys are anything like me, you guys will find yourselves there more often than what you would care to admit. Where we find ourselves thinking it's all about me, it's all about us. Then I look at the scriptures. I look at Stephen's response in Acts 7, and I see that he did not for a single moment try and justify himself. His life was devoted to pointing even the very people that crucified their Savior, the very people that would stone him to death not long after presenting them with the gospel, the very same people. He gives them Jesus. He doesn't give them Stephen. He points them to Christ. And there's something else there that I think they understand that we sometimes miss. And I don't think, I may be generalizing a lot, I don't think there's anyone here who wouldn't gladly lay down their lives for Christ. But I think in the comfort that we have in all of this blessing and blessedness that we get to enjoy, we at times forget what it's all about. And an aspect of what I wanted to share with you guys this morning is seen in Joseph's life, is seen in the fact that, you know, he had a horrible experience. He was down in the darkest places of his, you know, of his existence, of his life. And he did nothing wrong to get him there. And all of us, I think, to some extent, know something about that. And that's when we tend to cling to Christ, right? When things don't go so wonderfully well, we tend to cling to him, and then we find ourselves praying harder, studying the scriptures more, and all of these things. But what amazes me about Joseph's life is that whether he was in prison or whether he was the most powerful man of his time, God was still first. He didn't forget God when it was going good. And I think sometimes in our comfort, we at times run the risk of forgetting who brought us there. Who's blessed us with all of these amazing things. And then when those things get threatened, then we try to save them. We try to, you know, keep hold of those things. And then we fight, and then we lose sight of the bigger picture. We lose sight of Christ. We forget what it's about. And even in our trials, our storms, our suffering, we miss and tend to miss what it's about. Paul writes, while being imprisoned in Philippians chapter 1, and he says in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what had happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And I think in that, there's such an amazing truth that I am hoping to just drop in your hearts this morning. There's nothing that can happen to you this morning. There's nothing that you can go through, good or bad, that should prevent you from spreading the gospel. Especially the bad things. They should be your platform. They should be your pulpit, your storms, your persecution, your whatever discomfort you might be experiencing. Those things happen for a reason. And when I look at Paul, I'm so inspired by his words here in verse 12. What has happened to me? These chains, the beatings, the lashing, the shipwrecks, the everything that I have endured, the being scourged 5 times like Jesus, all of those things, with every strike, with every wave that smashed against the boat or that threatened to get my head underwater and drown me, everything that has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. When last have we looked at our trials, our discomfort, even our comfort, in that way and in that regard? What has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. So that's what it's about. That's what it's about, church. That's what it's about. He continues and he says, so it has been known throughout the whole imperial guard to all and to all the rest that my imprisonment for Christ, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I look at videos like that. I look at the scriptures. I look at church history. I look at what was meant to destroy the church became the very thing that served to spread the gospel. The persecution, the hatred, the storms, the discomfort, all of these things. We find ourselves in a very privileged and a very fortunate position in November of 2025 to not suffer the same persecution that the churches and the believers in Africa and in Asia and all of the other places around the world do. We really do. But it doesn't mean that we should be less gospel-centered. Everything is an opportunity for the gospel to be preached, especially our trials, especially our discomfort, especially our brokenness. And this brokenness takes many forms, guys. It can be in the form of, oh my goodness, a car crash. It can be in the form of Uncle John, the struggles with health. Let it be known. Let it be known that that can and still will and will never stop serving to advance the gospel. As we think at times when things go rough, we are freed from preaching the gospel. We are freed from fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. It's especially in those times that we need to. But I think more than in the bad times, my heart and my hope in just sharing this is to have you realize that even in your comfort, you may not lose sight of Jesus. You may not lose sight of what it's about. The way we suffer, the way we endure, the way we fix our eyes on Jesus is so, so, so very important. Because it not only proves to advance the gospel, but it serves as an encouragement to the rest of the brethren, the rest of the church, the rest of the believers, the rest of us around you, Uncle John, are encouraged by your enduring what you're enduring. We're looking at, oh man, Amanda, who joins us and who started joining us again on Wednesday nights. God gave some people the ability to endure much, much more than the rest of us. So that in, I think, looking at them, we are inspired by our faith. Inspired by their faith, inspired to greater faith in ourselves, inspired by what Jesus had accomplished on our behalf, and inspired by this amazing truth and reality that nothing, nothing, nothing is meaningless. Nothing we can go through is worthless or doesn't make sense or has no purpose. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose, and whether we know it or not, and whether we figure it out while we're still alive on this side of eternity or not, I think is irrelevant. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. It has served to advance the gospel. I look at the persecution. I look at these things. I look at how our family, and when I speak about our family, I'm speaking about the Christians in Africa, in Asia, in all of the Arab countries, are standing strong and are being persecuted. And all of that serves to advance the gospel. There's these incredible stories throughout church history, throughout, especially in the beginning of the church, but throughout church history, of people understanding this in such a way that as they rejoicingly were led to their deaths, even those who had put them to death came to faith and were touched by their faith. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. I want you to know this morning that there's nothing that you can go through that can make that God will leave you and forsake you, relax his hold on you, run away, make him jump off his throne, pace up and down in worry. There's nothing. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul writes it. He says it, Romans 8, and he tells us. And then he gives us examples of things that are going to try. I want you to know that there are going to be things that will try and stop you from preaching the gospel. There are going to be things that are going to try and stop you from advancing the gospel and being gospel-minded and gospel-centered. Our comfort might be one of those things this morning. I don't know where you are as it relates to that. But I want to challenge you guys as we just close with this thought, this challenge, this being inspired by the persecuted church to seek every opportunity to see the gospel advanced. Whether it's in your bad times, your storms, your sickness, your struggles with your health, seek the gospel first. Seek Christ first. And see how even all of these other things that we fight about, the things that we quarrel about, fade away into nothingness. Because they are meaningless in comparison to Christ and eternity. And the glory that awaits us there is greater than anything we can ever experience on this side of eternity. And I think that's why we see Paul writing a little bit later on in verse 21. And he says that, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. For I will be with him for eternity." And I just love that. I love that. I love that. And I think as we close, being reminded about this, being reminded about counting the cost, having everything the world has to offer on one side and Jesus on the other, and realizing what is worth more, is such an amazing thing to keep in mind as we run this race, because it'll make us make sense of not only life in general, but what we ought to fight about and what we should not fight about, what we should make big issues of and what we should not make big issues of. Does it make sense? And my hope and my heart and my prayer for you guys and for all of us here this morning is that as we run this race, which is at times agonizing, that we do so with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking away from all that will distract us and fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That in doing so, we might take stock of our lives. Do a little bit of an inventory of what is truly important and what is absolutely not. So that we can shift away all of the things that don't help us run this race, that we can deal with them, move them aside, get them out of the way, so that we can keep our minds, our hearts, our eyes fixed on Jesus. And if it's your struggling with someone here this morning, I want to ask you to deal with it, because you cannot run this race to the glory of our King if you're holding on to unnecessary stuff. If it is that, you know, you've got family members that did you wrong, or friends, or whatever the case may be, brokenness in your past, I want to ask you to, by the grace of God and with the grace of God, deal with that. Let those things go, because they do not help you run. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our hearts fixed on Jesus, on what's truly important. And even our struggles and our storms, all of those things will grow strangely dim as we fix our minds on Jesus, as we fix our sights on Him. That's my prayer for you guys, for myself. We come to realize just how vastly important this gospel, this salvation, this amazing grace is. And that we go and share it. Amen. Amen.
So Father, we thank you for this and the quick little time together as we look at the church, Lord. We realize this morning and we understand this morning that we are so fortunate to not be in those circumstances. But at the same time, Lord, there's something that they know, that they experience, that they are enduring that is so incredibly powerful, so incredibly amazing. The fact that, Lord, they're suffering for your name's sake. And when I look at the scriptures, when I look at John and Peter and all of the saints that had gladly given their lives, we realize, Lord, that as Paul writes, it's been gifted to us to believe, and it's been gifted to us to suffer, that even our suffering is a gift because it does something in us. And it produces in us an eternal weight of glory that we will receive when we see you face to face one day. So, Lord, my prayer this morning for us, in all of our comfort, in all of our riches, is that you help us see what is truly important. That we don't cling to these things, but that we cling to you. That we don't cling to these things and forsake you or focus on these things and on our little lives instead of focusing on you. Help us realize why we are here, Lord. Help us become more gospel-minded. Help us preach the gospel and spread your word. Give us the boldness and the strength to do so, Lord. And give us the boldness and the strength to even endure the hardships that might come because of that. We would love to be regarded as worthy of suffering for your name's sake. So strengthen our brothers and sisters that find themselves in places that are not as free as what we have and what we get to experience. We'd like to pray and ask, Lord, that you please be with them. Please continue using them there where they are, where they find themselves being persecuted. Help them stand strong, Lord Jesus. And help us be inspired to get up off of our couches and go and share the gospel. Move away from being afraid of what people might think, and that we just spread your word, God. Help us realize what is important, and help us keep in mind that every opportunity is a gospel opportunity, whether it be in the lives of our children, our wives or our husbands, our friends or our family, or the stranger working at Safeway behind the cash register. Help us come back to what is truly important, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We will, if it's okay with you guys, end it there for today. We can jump into our journey through Acts and our speaking about the faithfulness of God next Sunday, and my hope is that you guys will be here and that you guys won't miss it. But my hope is between now and then, and with every step that you guys take from here on out, that it be a step closer to Christ, a step closer with your mind and with your heart focused on Him, and that if you're going through things, don't count those things as being worthless and meaningless. But like Paul, my prayer is to have you realize that even those things that we go through, they are an opportunity to see the gospel preached. And I want you to realize that those people around you that are watching you, they need to see you suffer well, if suffering is what you're doing. They need to see you live well, live lives worthy of the gospel. For some other reason, I can't wait to speak about our fruit one day. And one of the things that just come out about our fruit and our good works and our deeds is that God does not need our good works and our deeds. We do. Your good works, your deeds, your fruit is to the glory of God. But God doesn't need them because He doesn't need anything. Who needs your fruit? Who needs your works? Your brothers and sisters around you. So, my hope in my heart is to speak about that very soon and have you guys encouraged to see and realize that we are called to live this life. Not for ourselves, Madison, for your kids, for your friends, for Robbie, for your students that you are teaching to dance. That's who you live for. That's who you should be living for, so that they might live. Amen. Amen. Let's close it there. Jeff, thank you so much for taking us away with the last song.